All right. All right, well, we'll continue studying in Genesis. And today we're going to talk about God's, a little bit of His saving grace, but from last week to this week, or in the course of study, we know last week, Adam and Eve and the sins, and how things transgress from there. But in life, have you ever seen anything or experienced anything that went from bad to worse?
Me.
And in the midst of that, did you ever want to give up? Did you ever think there's no end, there's no hope? But a lot of times, the worst that you think could happen doesn't happen. And why? Is it because of your faith in God, your walk with Him? Or is it just circumstances sometimes? But do you think what we're going to study today is the flood? Do you think it could have been prevented? Or do you think anything bad that happens in life could be prevented? Could have been.
Some of the things that happen to us personally are because we don't make good choices. Even though we study the scriptures and we know, we still, like we taught last week, we don't make good choices, so we pay the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't set out for us to do that. We just get to do that on our own.
Yeah, we mess our own lives up.
Exactly. I mean, in some cases we do. The choices that we make, the people we marry, the jobs we take, the friends we have, the way we spend our money. We make the choices, and sometimes we have to pay the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a good choice.
Because what we get into today, and we look back, Adam and Eve were created, and they had children, and we know what happened there. Two of their sons, one killed his own brother, and from then on, things just kind of went south, went sour. And we get to the part today to where God and His authority and His wisdom is looking at everything, and it's just corrupt. It's bad. And do we ever wonder or think, does God ever get tired enough of situations to where He'll take care of it Himself? But if we compare this to if we think we live in bad times today, then why doesn't He step in today like He did in today's lesson?
He works on His own time, that's right.
True. But if you read in Genesis chapter 6, start at verse 11, it says, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. And God spoke to Noah and told him and said, 'I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm going to destroy both them and the earth.'" Now, if you were Noah, and God spoke to you in those words, how would you feel? How would you take it? First off, why me?
God already knew the fate that Noah had.
Mm-hmm. But do you think Noah ever questioned God or questioned in his mind, "Well, God, you're all powerful, you're all knowing. Why do you want to get rid of everything?"
But don't you think we do that in our lives today? He is all powerful and all knowing. He's a great physician and on and on. And we know that, but we still waver. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That we put our faith in him, but then and sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. When we really need him, we put a lot of it. When we're kind of sort of not needing him, we don't put a whole lot of it. So.
And my things are going good.
Exactly.
So, I think he sees how much patience we're going to have. We have to wait on him to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
We have to let it go and let him decide.
You think maybe Noah pleaded his case before God about why he shouldn't be
chosen? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, why he shouldn't be destroyed.
Oh. Or was it that Noah was so obedient? And in his walk with the Lord, that he didn't question that. God, that's, you told me.
Like she questioned it, the first thing that come to me is, he's talking to me. So the first thing I was thinking about is, what about my family? And, you know, my family. So it's like, they just said, reckon he questioned. What about my family?
Well, we'll pick up on that part. But
do you think Satan makes things happen today? That's why I'm confused. Because, like with Job, he could not touch that man unless God gave him permission.
Mm-hmm.
So now I wonder, if bad things happen, you're like, well, that's Satan doing this. And I'm confused.
Well, I think our human mind, if things go bad, we look to blame it on someone else. You want to take it away from yourself. I didn't have any part of this. I'm going to blame it on Satan. He brought this into my life. But
murder, kidnapping,
there's a statement that this writer had, because it says Noah exemplified, or he demonstrated, that righteousness is possible in the midst of evil. Because we go out of here today, do you walk out of the church today and go out into the world and everything is just normal? Or do you walk out of here and then maybe sometime during the week, you're not a part of it, but you're caught up in evil? You see bad things happen. We don't have a wall that protects us from that. So the writer says, when you walk with God in a depraved culture, then you will be pleasing to God. Because like it says, if we backed up into verse 8, in chapter 6, when the Lord was talking to them, to Noah, that it says Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And that was Noah's talks there. But what happens when you live away from God? You live independent from God. You don't rely on him anymore in your life. Is that where you set a path to where at some point you're going to have a collision? You're going to have something major happen? And is it your fault that that happens? Is it the devil's fault that it happened? Is it God's fault that it happened? But you can...
For some people, you have to be totally broken before you will accept his help.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it is, you know, it's kind of like a child. You keep telling them it's hot, well, until they touch it, then they really realize what you're telling them. It's the same thing as like this as a Christian. You can read this all day long and see what he's telling you, but you have to experience it. You have to experience his love. And so for some people, when they get hit rock bottom, it's when they really experience his love.
Mm-hmm.
And where he brings you comfort and peace.
But if you live your life in that manner to where you don't make any changes, and you just keep ignoring God's warnings, you're pretty much setting yourself up for destruction. Your consequences are going to come because of that. And once again, God is warning us of His judgment. And thinking of that, do you think God just selected Noah because he was the strongest person?
I think it's because he was righteous. He was the only righteous person. But I mean, kind of going back to what we were talking about would God change his mind? I mean, the rapture is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people are concerned about it? So, I mean, it's like I see them running parallel. It's the same thing. God's given the warning. And the thing is, with Noah and the way God handled it, they had over 100 years to prepare, and they still, because Noah was preaching while he was building.
Mm-hmm.
And they still, you know, they laughed and mocked him and went on down the road doing the same thing. We're doing the same exact thing today. And you can warn people and warn people and warn people, and they don't care. Everything, we live in a me-centric, you know, entitlement mentality society today. Mm-hmm. And I think it was probably the same thing. They were so evil, they couldn't even see God's love and God's warning. And you know, God wanted them to repent. He didn't want to kill them. But that was how he had to deal with them because the corruption was so great.
Right. Because in 2 Peter, and we won't read the verse, 2 Peter chapter 5, I mean, it's Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, it calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. And it, like Ken just said, even the people then, do you think the people walking around then knew something strange was happening?
If they saw the ark, they did.
Or even just building him a big old house.
They've never heard of rain or anything. Did they ever say in the Bible how big it was? I mean,
yes.
It does. If you go behind, Ken Ham up there at the Answers in Genesis, or back to Genesis, what is it? They're actually building one. A real one up there, and it's to scale according to scripture, and you can go online and can actually see pictures and all of it. So,
Ken, there's one somewhere, I can't remember where, but I've been traveling around where they have built an ark.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but
it's
on
a little lift.
Yeah,
smaller scale.
Yeah, this one's in Kentucky where they're building it, and it's huge. It's huge.
I think they're going to in Jerusalem through that PBS or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
They have a place
they
looked like back in the old times of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're doing one over there too.
Hmm. Probably so. I think there's been a few people, because there was a Swedish guy or something built one a few years ago.
But then on the other hand, on the flip side, what about these people that are telling us already? We know as Christians the rapture's coming. We do not know when, because he tells us just to be, we're prepared to be prepared. But what about all these folks that's putting billboards up that, you know, on August 12th that 2019, he's coming. You know, it's kind of the flip side. This is what.
Well.
You know, I wonder if these people were cynical too about he's telling us this, but is it really going to happen? Just like, as Christians, we know that when you post that billboard, it's true because the scriptures tell us.
Yeah.
It says 10,000 years. It hadn't been there in 10,000 years.
But.
And it says, watch the signs.
Yeah.
So they're putting signs up now.
Yeah. But if you want to be
22 days,
they just want to teach you.
If you want to be cynical, what's happening tonight?
Oh,
the last of the four blood moons.
And the Mormons, I read this. The Mormons think it really
has
something to do with.
I don't know. But are human the human mind, the human humanistic thoughts, are we slow to change? It's just natural. You know, I've been on Earth 63 years. I've been a cradle old baby. I've heard preachings. I've heard different preachers, different thoughts. You know, am I like Noah? You know, or am I one of those that I'm still waiting for it to happen? Then I'm going to think about it closer. But is the question, and we see it, is God's judgment being expressed today? Can it get any worse? We've talked about this.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
But the promise, as it unfolds, you're talking about the ark, starting at verse 14. Now, different translations. My Bible says, so make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. And this is how you're to build it. The writer points out it was to make it of gopher wood. Now, that could be in the family of cypress wood, but that was probably the wood that was in that area where Noah was at the time. Now, when you're talking about the dimensions of the ark, he tells them to build it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. If you think about going to a football game, if you take that football field and you add half of it to the field, that's how long it's going to be. I didn't look it up, but I don't know how wide a football field is, but I don't know if it's 50 yards. So it's not as wide as a football field. Or is it 50 yards wide? It's pretty long. But he gives the dimensions. And he tells them what to do. Now, we go back to the thought, you know. If I'm walking around and I see Noah doing this and he's preaching, telling me I need to change my mind, change my thoughts, change my ways, and I ask him this question, what are you doing? What is this? And he told me God instructed me to build this ark. He's going to cause a great flood. What would you do? What would your mindset be? You're crazy. You're crazy. But getting into the part about the ark, have you ever questioned how could he put every animal, every species of animal inside that ark? But, I mean, if you go back and think, in Noah's days, were all the animals that are on earth today present then? Or were there just a limited number?
This is where science comes in.
Yeah, they species of things that have never been found before.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
were dinosaurs and cavemen and stuff, were they here before Adam and Eve got here?
I don't know.
No,
that's a good question. Yep, come on.
Because this is just, this is something that we in the church and pastors and theologians and everybody have failed miserably at sharing with people. There's a couple of things. If you look at cavemen and the possibility that there were cavemen and the dinosaurs lived before Adam and Eve, we as believers, as Christians, and not getting even into the unbelievers and the problems that they have, the Bible tells us that sin didn't come into the world until Adam and Eve sinned, correct? Okay. If the dinosaurs roamed and the cavemen, and the dinosaurs were eating each other and the cavemen were killing the dinosaurs and fighting them, you have a fallen world prior to Adam and Eve. And that is not what Scripture teaches. It teaches that God created in a literal 6 days. Okay? There were dinosaurs. As a matter of fact, in the last few years, they have found a T-Rex bone that had blood vessels, and they even believe that there is remnant of, I believe it's the blood cells in it. It's impossibility. No scientist would ever say that it's possible for this bone to be millions of years old, because these blood vessels could not survive millions of years. Possibly thousands, but never millions. So the dinosaurs roamed during the day that Adam and Eve were created. Okay, and even in the Bible makes reference to certain dinosaurs like Leviathan and some of these others. So I believe that most of them died during the flood. Okay, and that's what a lot of scientists are really looking at now. They're saying, you know, because I remember several years ago they found some dinosaurs out in Arizona in the desert that lived in swampy areas. And I remember the headline that the scientist said, well, now we have to change our view. Either the land was different then, or these dinosaurs didn't live in a swamp. Well, how about this theory? A great flood swept them around the globe, rapid burial, and that's why we're finding them there.
Well, what about the man they said years ago they found frozen? You remember hearing that?
Well, here's the problem. Your dating methods are flawed. That carbon 14 date, they know that's flawed. You can take a rock. Mount St. Helens was within the last 30 years. You can take rocks that were formed in Mount St. Helens, and you can go do carbon 14 dating on them, and they're going to date millions of years old. When you know for a fact that rock's not 30 years old, helium testing is very accurate. They will not use helium testing because it basically throws everything else out. So they choose to live a lie rather than the truth. I'm sorry, I just...
And the scriptures tell us, though, it covered the earth.
Yeah, verse 17.
So it covered the earth. It didn't just cover that little area where he built his ark. It said the earth. So
anything they can do to cast doubt on a global flood is what they're trying to do. And my brother believes that it was a regional flood. No, it was a... Because how do you explain sea creatures, these little clams and things, and they got them up on some of the tallest mountains in the world? How'd they get there?
Because it covered the earth, and not just, like you said, where he was building his boat. It didn't just flood there.
Yeah,
and you also have to look at the mountains and all that we have today did not exist prior to the flood. When the flood happened,
the seas erupted.
And that was when the mountains and all rose up because of the catastrophic nature of the event. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's fast. I can't get enough reading this stuff, so I'm sorry.
Oh, I like it. I live in the Discovery Channel all the time.
If you go on AIG, which is Answers in Genesis, or you go to the Creation Research Institute, their website, they have all kinds of information on this, and it's just absolutely fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
Because verse 17 says, I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. Now, why?
To cleanse the earth. Okay.
Being part of the floodwaters behavior.
And we just Candace brought out, and then we brought out that the flood just didn't encompass state of Alabama. It encompassed the whole world. So what if he had said, it's just the state of Alabama is the only state in existence that's corrupt. I'm going to destroy it, but I'm going to leave the rest of the world untouched.
Because it's been everywhere.
You better pack up and leave California.
And I guess, too, if we do realize, he could have done that. If he could have built that,
it's his prerogative.
And he could have, the area where they built his, where Noah lived, that area could have been all that he intended to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
He had the power to do that.
Well, if you flip back a little bit, and it talks about the Nephilim that were fallen angels that interbred with the daughters of men and had children. Humanity had been so corrupted that it wasn't even natural anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the things that they were doing were just totally unnatural, and you know, I don't know what they possibly could have been capable of doing. And I think, you know, to be honest with us, a lot of people say that's where, you know, some of these religions like Greek and Roman mythology, where these different gods, where they interbred with people and all this kind of thing, that's where it could have come from. Of course, it would have had to come through Noah's sons because everybody else was gone.
Everybody else was gone.
Well, they had a thing on the history station one day, and this man was trying to say there was someone before Eve.
Yeah, there were.
That's vampirism. Yeah, it's just...
Well, I mean, if you think about it...
25,000 children or something like that. I mean, yeah. They just...
As when we first started studying in Genesis and talking about it, it tells us that God created mankind in his own image. So before Adam and Eve came, there were human beings on earth. But then he created Adam and Eve, hopefully to create the perfect society. So what happened?
Eve ate that apple.
Well,
what happened?
But if you believe that there was humans created before Adam and Eve, then basically you have to call this a liar.
Well, no, but because I know it says he created mankind in his own image, then he created male and female, but scriptures will tell you, like you just said, you know, that, and I don't know where it's at, I'll have to find it. You know, where did everyone come from? Just Adam and Eve? Mm-hmm. Were there people here before that? And from Adam and Eve, children were born, male and female, and is that where these, let's say if you want to call them evils, saw that these ladies were beautiful, and they created humans. They had children. It's kind of a mindset, a thought-provoking mindset.
Do you think if their eyes hadn't been opened to sin, that God would have just given them children or just made children?
I think my thoughts would have been if their eyes had never been opened to sin, I think God would have wanted them to have children because he created them to go and multiply and supply the earth.
But if you have humankind before Adam and Eve, though, like Paul said, mm-hmm. He talked about the first man when he was talking about the first man sinned, and then Jesus is basically his first man restored man's relationship to God.
And
the other thing I would say is Jesus quoted from almost every book in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
If God wants us to know his truth, because the Jews clearly believed that Adam and Eve were the first of mankind, if that had been incorrect, would Jesus not have corrected that when he was quoting from the Old Testament? Basically, he gave his stamp of approval on it. So if they believe, as they believe Adam and Eve in the garden, and they believe the account of Noah, and they believed all these other things, had any of those beliefs really been flawed, I think he would have pointed that out to him instead of giving his stamp of approval.
There's someone that said that a lot of things were not put in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine how big? And it makes you wonder, what things were not put in there?
But the thing is, we got what we wanted us to have, and I used to hear people say everything in the Old Testament points to Christ mm-hmm. coming, and then everything in the New Testament points to he came.
Fulfillment.
And I used to wonder about that because I didn't see it. And it's like the more I have studied it, everything in the Old Testament literally does point to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Blows my mind, some of the stuff that I never saw before, and now it's like it just really fascinates.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. I learned something new every time.
I believe. I mean, I've always, since I was a child, I'm just somehow, I knew it was true.
You know, when I was in the Marines, the first time I ever doubted, and it was because I saw evil, and I remember it was like, I wanted to have this personal relationship with God. I wanted him to, I needed his strength to survive. And it was like, and I remember praying and really going through this internal torment, because it was like, I wanted him to reveal himself to me. And it was like he chose to remain silent. And I had to work through that. And I remember one day I said, Lord, if you do exist, please show me. I need you to exist. Because I knew I couldn't survive if he didn't exist and carry me.
I've always wondered why in the Bible it never actually says what Jesus really looked like. Mm-hmm. Never.
And I think
we'll never
thinking
know
about it, the reason why didn't he come when they had video and stuff like that? Because man would corrupt it. And I think if we really knew, if we really had a good description, how many people do you think would make themselves look like that and come strolling down the street claiming to be Jesus?
He's all people. He's all color. He's everything.
Well, he was Jewish.
Mm-hmm. He was Jewish.
I mean, so, yeah, this argument about he was this or that, you know, because he was Jewish. Yeah. You know.
Right, but what about Noah?
He was Jewish. I got him.
You thinking?
Actually, what Jewish? He was
No. Can you relate Noah to a pastor, a leader? He's following God. He's doing his work. God's instructed him to build this ark. He's telling him what he's going to do. And Noah keeps working, but he keeps preaching. He keeps teaching, witnessing to people. And he still gets rejected.
But we are his servants.
I know. But if you were a pastor, and would you have the same faith and determination that Noah had? Or can it, what I'm trying to say is, can you see possibly how a pastor can get tired and beat down because... or start questioning, Lord, I'm out here doing your work. I'm witnessing, I'm visiting, I'm trying to bring lost souls in, but nobody's listening to me.
We can get burned out just like
anybody else. Mm-hmm. They're humans. But Noah had this task to complete. And as Ken said earlier, talking about, if you read in verse 11 of chapter 7, where it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 70th day of the second month, 17th day, all that day, all the springs of the great deep, which would be the seas, burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Why did the seas have to erupt?
Body.
No.
You can't have a flood without water.
But it was going to rain.
Yeah, but where did the rain come from?
Right. Okay.
Very
God sent it.
Very interesting theories on that.
And during that time, it tells us that everything, all the high mountains under the whole sky were covered. I don't know where they get this from. I know it's scientific that the water was more than 20 feet higher than the highest mountains. So that alone would tell you that it was a worldwide flood. And if you go into the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, it says, the world of that time perished when it was flooded. Now, if we read Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 30. It tells us, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed.
That's why the scriptures keep telling us to be ready.
Be ready. Be ready. Why? Do you question why? We understand why he instructed Noah to take animals, a pair, male and female, so that later they could create and multiply. He saved and protected Noah's family. Have you ever thought why nobody else was brought on board? Was there nobody else out there that was like Noah? Or was God just tired of everything?
I think it was just fire, and I think he didn't see it. It wasn't there.
Do you think Noah's family, being under Noah, had the faith that Noah had?
Do you think they questioned, Daddy, what are you doing?
No, that's a good question.
I'll tell you what, they got on the boat before the door
closed. Do as I say, so get on the boat.
The thing is, again, going back to Ken Hammond's answers in Genesis, when they calculate the ark, and you have to remember it was three stories high too, okay? Mm-hmm. And they had food, and at that time, the animals were vegetarian; they were going to eat each other and stuff. But they had food enough. They actually say that if you take one of every species or kind that could have actually as they bred down through the years. You have these adaptations where you could have one type of horse, donkeys, mules, zebras, and any other kind of horse would come from that original, whatever that horse was. If they were colts, when they were on the ark, they weren't full size. It's like baby giraffes or smaller than adult giraffes. So they could have all been very young animals or whatever, but there was still room left on the ark for people. But nobody got on the ark. So God, even though he warned them, then he said, okay, I'm going to destroy the earth. And then he had another 100 years, he warned them. And then it was like he still had prepared a place for them, and they rejected it.
They didn't believe Noah.
They didn't believe him.
They didn't believe him.
They thought he was just a crazy old man. But, could you imagine what that would be like to hear people when it started raining? Because it never rained before that. And they're beating on the thing, and you can't. Because God shut the door. Noah couldn't open it if he tried. Could you imagine how bad that would be hearing people pound your neighbors and your relatives and stuff, and they're banging on it, wanting in, and there's nothing. That had to be trying for Noah and his family.
And I think, speaking of Noah's children, that they honored their father.
Mm-hmm.
Where he said this word. Mm-hmm. And
that
would
be
it. Mm-hmm. Those times they did.
And the scripture teaches us too, though, he still is doing that today. We're Noahs. He's still, we're getting chances. There's always an opportunity for us to make a decision for him to be Lord of our life.
Yeah, because, you think about this. Was it Noah protecting his family?
No.
No. It was God. God instructed Noah, and Noah listened to God, and he took the work and did it. Like you said, place it in your life. Has God ever spoken to you and told you, I want you to do something? Or you're asked to do something, and do you question it? Why? Why me? somebody else can do a better job than I can. But what if we all were that obedient to God? Do you think things would be a little different on earth now? Or would there still be evil? There's always going to be.
There's always going to be a certain group of people who do not want it the right way.
Look at
they want to live their life the way they want to live.
Look at Ham. Experiences all of that went on, the ark, the flood, the whole nine yards. And then what? It says when Noah got drunk, what did he do? He shamed his father. Everything he had witnessed and seen for himself. And yet, he rebelled. I mean, that right there shows you how wicked we can be as human beings.
And, you know, when you go out into this world, it's looking for you. Yeah. I mean, it's bad.
Do you ever think sin...
I know when I was growing up, we lived very simple. I mean, and nowadays it's like, who's got to have the biggest house? Fanciest car, and he's telling you, you can't take it, will you? Where do you want it from?
Everything either has temporal value or eternal value. Mm-hmm. And we should be storing up treasure in heaven that we can't lose. Like, I can't remember who it was said, you never see a U-Haul being towed behind a hearse. So.
we walk a couple bus. That's how we travel.
Do you think evil could have ever been prevented and not brought to earth?
No, because you had the Satan
and
was banished to the earth.
Through the earth. It was present when it began.
And they get out there and they get a little something, they're like, well, it's got to get bigger. I want more and more and more.
God tells us there's nothing wrong with having things. He doesn't want us to live in poverty, but you got to learn how to handle what he gives you.
Also says in Proverbs, if you don't work, you're going to be hungry. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding hands, brave one's probably like a prowler.
Yeah. All right. Let's have our little closing benediction and we'll... You're welcome. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.